Kellogg, brother and sister, J.H. Sunnyside, Kurrenbong, New South Wales, Australia. July 4th, 1898. Dear brother and sister Kellogg, this morning at 9 o'clock a.m., the mail closes. I am doing my writing by lamplight, could not sleep after 2 o'clock. Yesterday morn was up at 1 o'clock. It is midwinter with us. We have not had but 2 frosts. The heat wave, which was quite severe in many places, was scarcely felt here. We are surrounded by native trees, Australian gum trees. I do not think I should accomplish one half the writing I do now if I was in the city, with the rolling of carriages, the smoke, the dust, the open drains. I am enjoying good health at the present time. I place myself in the hands of the great physician, using no stimulus. I spoke 14 times during week of prayer, in the church chapel, in the school chapel, and at Dora Creek. And yet I did not have, as feared I might, physical prostration. Yesterday I put in 17 hours of earnest writing. The Lord does give me strength and grace, for which I will praise His holy name. The medical missionary work is extending and becoming successful. The dearth of means and proper facilities will, we sincerely hope and pray, be overcome. We are advancing slowly but healthfully and holding all we gain. To rush ahead rapidly, we simply cannot do it. I have had to invest means to make a beginning in the health home and in the building of chapels and in our school interest until I am really bound about for want of funds. I would be very glad to invest in uplifting the standard in the cities of Newcastle and Maitland. There has been no preaching in these places. Our books have been sold, but we have had so many interests connected with the building here in Kurrenbong, we have had nothing to invest in new fields in other places. We pray the Lord to open the way. We cannot rush on and continue to borrow means as I have done, and pay interest on money while I invest in gifts and offerings and the many borrowed funds without interest. Our people in America cannot know how hard has been the advancing in new fields here, but it has cost us anxiety and heavy lifting to erect the standard of truth. We are in this place doing all we can possibly do. We look upon our 3 school buildings with much pleasure and thanksgiving to God. The chapel is a thing of joy to us because we needed it, and there is not a penny of debt upon it. The Lord had the supervision of it. But now we must have a building, a hospital, or some kind of a building where we can make provision to care for the sick. Sarah McEnterfer is called out to go here and there and anywhere and everywhere. I tell her to go. We take no wages. All is done free. When we see severe cases, we have taken persons to our home, keeping them, treating them, feeding them, for nothing. These cases cannot be neglected. There is no physician short of Newcastle. Poor people cannot have physicians. Sarah has had marked success. Those who have had fearful accidents come to her. A physician comes from Newcastle, 20 miles. His fee is 1 crown and carfare paid. He looks at the patient and says, "You had better go to the hospital," and does not do one thing to relieve suffering. I have thought of asking our people in America to donate 1 dime throughout our churches, men, women, and children, and let a dime hospital be erected on the school ground. We can build underground cisterns containing soft water to us. We have salt water that comes in from the sea. We could build a bathhouse where this clear, beautiful salt water could be utilized in giving treatment. As yet, the school question in building has taxed us sorely, and now the main building must go up. We have not room for any more students. Willie, Elder Haskell, and myself are the ones who must carry the burden. If you can see any way to help us get something started in Newcastle as well as here, just advise us. We are constantly doing medical missionary work. Sarah has one she can call upon, a young man who has worked with Brother Simmons. He will help her. She visits men and women, calls upon this young man, tells him what to do for the men, and she treats the women and children. If we had a building, we could take the sick. It would be so much better. We have had, since the week of prayer, whole families sick at once. Poverty. Poverty. We must not try to tell it. One family has just taken hold of the truth. They are intelligent people. They have six children. The father has been sick. They are in a home only sided up. Their covering is old bags sewed together for blankets and quilts. One chair in the home. For 9 months, the father could get no work. The mother supported the family by going out washing, but she said she was getting worn out. He embraced the truth, and after I had spoken upon the health reform, telling the evils of tobacco and liquor drinking, he threw his pipe in the pier. The mother told Sarah she had begged and prayed him not to use tobacco and to give him my hard-earned wages for him to purchase tobacco. I have done it when I know he would go without food. But as soon as he decided to accept the Sabbath, he threw away his pipe. We have carried them food to eat, blankets, clothing, and as soon as he was able to do anything, we had him do work and paid him the money. We have three families, yes, four that we are helping, in attending not only to the physical necessities, but the supplying their temporal wants. This is the work we are doing, and the work we have been doing since we came to this locality. The medical work is done without one particle of drug medication, and we have evidence drugs are a curse rather than a blessing. Water is used in a variety of ways. People come 6 and 8 miles to take Sarah to their sick families. I say, go. Whatever we have on hand, I do not hold her. She often takes one of my workers to assist her, for she cannot do the work alone. This work being done without money and without price is preparing the way for the reception of the truth. It is surprising what the mere treatment by water will do, and the outward applications of charcoal pounded up and put in a bag of hot, smart weed. The charcoal alone put upon wounds kills the most acute inflammation, and it kills pain, reduces swellings, and cleanses loathsome sores. Sarah gets very weary sometimes. If we could have a building erected, we could do so much better and more successful work. There are so many open houses, it is not safe to give treatment in them and leave them to be exposed. We want a building right here upon these grounds, and if you could set the matter before our churches and have a small sum raised by each giving a dime, of course, we would be glad if anyone could give freely. More than this, be assured it would be gratefully received. We need help. A family came here, a fine, intelligent man. They have 10 children. I furnished a home 4 months to the father and 4 of the children. He is an excellent carpenter. The mother remained in the old house she had been living in with 4 of the children. They were so destitute. Sarah cut out garments, and we made them clothing, pants and shirts and coats to cover them. We have done this kind of work for the poor, and when we find a family who can make up material, we furnish it. We think ourselves favored. These poor are not to be neglected. We have sent boxes of goods to families in other localities. The father of one family is a coach builder, but cannot get employment. I employed him to work in building my house. How sad I felt to see a man of his intelligence destitute. He keeps the Sabbath, has been a Sunday school superintendent. We must look after these. I furnished him with all my books, large and small. He will make a good use of them. I have placed my books, great and small, in houses where the family would have the benefit of them. Unbelievers may be brought to the truth. Well, when I commenced to write, I did not expect to write more than 2 pages, knowing I could not get this copied on the typewriter. I hope you can read this, for it is written by lamplight. It is now 5 o'clock a.m. I have written in regard to nature and nature's God. I will send enclosures with this. I have been obliged to restrict the multiplying of copies of my writing. Postage is not a small consideration. The carbons are expensive. The taxation to my typewriting machine is large, and I have to get new machines to replace those that are worn out. When essential, I produce a few extra copies. I cannot do as I would until I see I have some means to rely upon more than is now coming in. I feel intensely over these matters because I do not do more, but my head has no rest. I put in generally 3 or 4 hours before anyone is stirring, and we breakfast at 7 o'clock. We have now 2 fatherless children, brother and sister, that we are schooling. One I have had 4 years, Edith Ward. Her brother I have had 2 years. I took charge of an aged brother, a thorough gentleman, and if there is any word spoken by him that was not clean and elevated, I have never known it. He is an intelligent Christian. He attended meeting on Sabbath and bore his testimony. He bore his responsibilities in doing missionary work in the cause of God. He was our church treasurer, always cheerful, never heard a word of complaint from his lips. He had a good appetite. Last Monday he ate his dinner and said, "My head aches." This was something new. We had him lie down. This was the beginning of the end. He was 81 years old last March. He thought he had taken cold. We thought we had better send for Dr. Rand. He came and gave simple treatment and overcame the pain, but we were fully convinced he would not live. He had no pain and died Friday about 3 o'clock. He had no disease and he passed away without a struggle. The only words he said, beside answering yes or no to our questions, was, "Father, let me die in peace." I think I never looked upon the countenance of the dead when it looked more peaceful, and as though heaven's light had shone upon it. I saw nothing in this aged saint but a perfect childlike devotion to God, complete in Jesus Christ. We buried him near the chapel grounds. We miss our brother everywhere. He had lived with us 18 months. Everyone in our family respected and loved him. His hair was as white as human hair could be. We miss him so much, at the table, in the family, in the circle for prayers. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This was a great strain upon Sarah. She watched him through the day, and Brother Simmons through the night. When he fell asleep in Jesus, Sarah realized nervous prostration, but she is now recovering. W.C. White has taxed himself altogether beyond his strength. He needs rest, but I cannot get him to take it. I never saw a person who is as unselfish as he is. He is buried in the interest he has for others. I hope he will remain here in Kurenbong long enough to be benefited with this healthful climate. He is so interested in trying to help others, he has no thought for himself. He works hard. He puts himself into the hardest places to save someone else. When he knows that he has been misjudged, he will let blame rest upon himself rather than to vindicate himself. And I think sometimes he carries this thing too far. But if he will only recover his health, I will be so thankful. The Lord has given him a place in this work, and his labors in this country have been very taxing. Well, the Lord knows all about the matter. I am glad we have a God that will never err in judgment, one who reads the heart, who never misjudges. The greatest and most grievous sin in the sight of God is the want of love, true Christ-like love for one another. A cordial respect one for the other is wanting just where it should exist. A cordial and permanent friendship is not cherished, because the genuine love of Christ is not abiding in the heart. Workers in the great cause of God have their different lines of work appointed to them of God, and to every man God has given this work. God does not call upon any worker to administer sharp rebukes to his fellow worker, for he may not deserve it nearly as much as the one who wounds and bruises the soul. We need the Christian love that flows from a pure, sanctified heart, warmed by the love of Jesus. There is too much lurching and crowding because someone does not track in our very footprints, but God is leading him in his way. The talents we receive from God, which are the most mysterious and freighted with the highest consequences, their influence, like the air we breathe, are made up of units, but we must be faithful sentinels over that influence. In much love.